Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
TM Hyman Radio, Mental, all you know. What's good on this Monday morning? Monday evening, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Hope your weekend went well. Yup. We back. New work day. Who's back in the office? How are you feeling about being back in the office? Have you been delayed from going back in the office? Are you never going back in the office? Listen, it's real wacky out here. I mean, to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated, that is the question. Because it seems like businesses, workplaces, organizations all over the world are being forced to make a decision. Do you go back to work? Do you not? If so, how is it going to happen? Oh, man, decisions. Hey, tonight we're talking about increasing your competitive advantage with no excuses. We're going to talk about it. Increasing your competitive advantage with no excuses. What are we talking about? We'll get into it momentarily. I am TM coming to you live out of the ATL, but on the other side of the city is Hot Chock. What's good?
What's good? Happy Monday, everyone out there in TM Hyman Radio Land, Social Lab Land. I had a great weekend, and I have answers to all of the questions. Yes, I am back in the office. I'm feeling great about being there, but not great about being there just because of, you know, the new variant that's going around. And I am half of the way vaccinated. I get my second shot this Friday. I'm a little
congratulations,
nervous.
Or
thank
not.
You.
I'm not, I don't
thank
know.
You.
Yeah, I don't know. I you know, when I got the shot, you know, I was almost like, okay, good enough. I'm not going back. So you want to see, you know, but I decided to go back and, you know, get the second one. And, you know, no issues. No issues
well,
at all. You know,
I'm nervous because I didn't have any issues on the first round, which has me anticipating, hoping for that on the second round, and everyone that has had it already has either had nothing or extreme. So I'm hoping for nothing.
Yeah, well, nothing here. Pfizer vaccinated. I believe Pfizer is going to be the first to become FDA approved, we should know something here soon. Because, see, that's the catch. There's nothing that is FDA approved right now because it was pushed through so fast during the emergency period we're in right now. But once it becomes FDA approved, folks, you know, that whole thing about pushing back, you know, is going to be a little difficult because I heard something today hot off the press, you know, that there's a group of people within – you know, the space that I manage that must become vaccinated at least 6 weeks after it is FDA approved, you know, which I think is, you know, which is a fair shot, right? For those who are pushing back because we really don't know. I was one of those people until I had to hit the road and start traveling. And then I figured I needed something to protect me a little better than a mask. You know, I mean, I have the same concerns like, you know, many other Americans, right? But when it comes down to life or death and this new variant, I choose life, you
Absolutely.
Know, or the closest thing to it. This is not a COVID conversation. This is not a covert operation to get you vaccinated. No, no one is paying us to talk about this, you know. So, people are crazy. You know, people are flat out crazy.
In the background.
Okay. You know, right. I'm not going to hit that music because I could find it and he'd play it for me.
No.
I'm not going to entertain, you know, the conspiracy theorist out there. My question to the conspiracy theorist tonight, this is a question I have for you, okay? Because if you don't want me to vaccinate, right, and you don't want me to really wear a mask, because, you know, there's some crazy people out there, too. Like, you know, we've been wearing masks too long, and you're offended by masks. So what is the solution? Like, what can I do to protect me and my family if I'm not to vaccinate and I'm not to wear a mask? Like, what solution do you have for me? I will
they
wait.
They don't have one. They don't have one.
You don't have anything. It's not a celebration. Right. People are dying. People are dying. You don't have a solution. Listen, if you don't have a solution to the problem, I get the passion, but it's not time to, like, you know, wave a flag and, you know, proclaim your liberty. People are dying. Not a celebration. You don't have anything. I digress.
Nothing to celebrate at all.
Too many conversations about not getting vaccinated when you don't have a solution to save people's lives. It's not like, you know, a few people are affected by this. Like hundreds of thousands of people are being affected, have been affected, right? I mean, come on. Come on. Not being paid by anybody to talk about this. I just want to reiterate that.
And are still going to continue to be affected while you all are out there with no solutions but just trying to bully people to take your stand.
Yeah, I mean, this is too many, you know, perspectives, too many experts who've never been to medical school, right? There's too many people who know it all but happen to know nothing. And we just have to be smarter and protect ourselves and our families. And I'm going to really get off this soapbox. But, I mean, I'm just saying it took a lot for myself to make a decision to get vaccinated. I was totally against it at first, and then over time it just made sense, you know. And so, you know, do the right thing by way of you and your family. A lot of people have caught COVID not because they were outside. A lot of people caught COVID, were impacted. Some people died because other people were outside and then came around them. Be smart. Protect yourself. Protect your loved ones. Okay. It's serious. How do you increase your competitive advantage? Go ahead, Hot Chocolate. I heard loved ones.
I was just saying, if you're not going to think about anyone else, think about your loved ones.
Think about your loved ones, you know. But it's hard when you don't think about, you know, what's important for you. It's hard to think about what's important for others. So let's, you know, be safe, be careful when it comes to self, but put your loved ones at the top of the list if you don't think it's important for you. Put them at the top of the list for sure. Competitive edge. What is competitive advantage? What is competitive edge? You having a leg up, you being a couple of steps ahead, you being favored when there's a line of many. How do you increase your competitive advantage, your competitive edge? That's the conversation tonight, and we want to hear from you. Jump on it, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. We'll take the conversation over to Clubhouse at 10 p.m. and kick it up in overdrive. Competitive edge, when you think of it, Hot Chocolate, what comes to mind? Competitive edge. Competitive advantage.
So a competitive advantage, if you're thinking about it, well, there's a lot of ways that you could think about it. I would in a sports arena or in the corporate world. And to me, the two kind of coincide in a lot of ways. You have to be prepared in both arenas, both sports and corporate. You have to be in shape mentally, physically, emotionally, in both arenas. And I did say you have to be prepared, correct?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned
that. Okay. And continuing to want to get better, want to improve yourself as an athlete or as an executive, an entrepreneur, you know, just someone who's in a leadership role or even a mentorship role or a mentee role or in any role. All of those characteristics would definitely apply.
No, absolutely. And I totally agree. I totally agree. When I think of competitive advantage, I think of all of those things that you just stated, but there's an overarching, you know, word or strategy or theme even concept, right? I think, you know, some people achieve extraordinary things in life, and unfortunately, others do not. You know, there's some people that are extremely rich, and there are some people who are unfortunately extremely impoverished, right? What is the difference between, you know, those groups of people? I think some would argue that it's the luck of the draw, right? It just depends on, you know, how the ball bounced for you. And so that is absolutely true. I think when it comes to, you know, where you're born, or where you're conceived, you know, maybe where you're raised as a child. But I think as you evolve and as you become an adult, you know, you can no longer look to those things as what? Fill in the blank.
As excuses.
And so tonight what we're talking about is we're talking about increasing your competitive advantage with no excuses. Because, see, at the end of the day, competitive advantage really comes down to accountability. When you look at the people who achieve extraordinary things in their lives and people who do not, the one common thread of achievers, master achievers, right? It comes down to accountability. Accountability is a standard in which we hold ourselves to and we hold others to. It's a strategy for life and work, and it really attracts others to us whether we know it or not, because accountability is a universal trait that is admired. It is admired. Pull out your notes tonight. Pull out your pen and paper. Take notes tonight, folks. We're talking about increasing your competitive advantage with no excuses. It starts with just that. Like, you cannot make excuses. You have to do whatever it takes. How do you feel about people who make excuses? Tell the truth. Tell the truth, shame the devil. That's what some of the older folks say. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Listen, how do you feel when people make excuses? Right? Like,
I'm
tell
be
the truth,
honest
Chuck. How does it make you feel?
I'm not going to not be honest and try and say that I have never been an excuse maker. And I've called myself on it, like, hold on, like, why did you feel the need to try and accommodate someone else in a way that was not genuinely what it was?
Authentic.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So did you answer that question? When you asked yourself that question, did you answer?
I did.
Do you remember what the answer was?
That it was completely unacceptable to do that, and you don't owe anyone that. What you owe yourself is to be authentic.
Absolutely. You owe it to yourself to be authentic and accountable to yourself, because if you're not accountable to yourself first, you can never hold others accountable. You can never be accountable to others. Again, like, holding yourself accountable, it's a strategy for life and for work, and it attracts others to us because accountability is a universal trait that people admire. We're talking about increasing our competitive advantage with no excuses. No excuses meaning accountability, by being accountable to ourselves and others, because accountability is a universal trait that is admired. It's admired. So let's just pause for a minute and talk about accountability. Let's talk about transparency, because, you know, transparency means being accountable. And I think it's hard for us to be transparent sometimes. It's hard for us to be transparent with others. It's hard for us to be transparent with ourselves,
honest with ourselves sometimes.
Right?
Yeah, looking yourself in the mirror is the hardest thing ever in life.
why is it so hard to look at the man in the mirror?
Because you can't lie to the man in the mirror. The man in the mirror knows the truth. You can fake to everybody else, but you can't fake it to yourself. And if you think you're faking it to yourself, you're lying to yourself and everyone else.
Right. Right. And it's just no need. It's just no need.
And it isn't.
And so tonight we're going to talk about the accountability, specifically five accountabilities for personal and organizational growth. It starts with no excuses, doing whatever it is that you have to do. How bad do you want it? How hungry are you really? How bad do you want it? How hungry are you really? 917-889-3926. Let's talk about it. And we'll take this conversation over to Clubhouse at 10. Transparency means being accountable, right? Doing the right things from the top to the bottom. Doing the right things. Right is relative. I've learned that. What's right is relative, meaning, you know, you may not, you know, see what I think is right, and I may not see what you think is right. That's what
right.
I mean by right is relative. It, you know, it means different things to different people.
Different people.
But, you know, at the end of the day, right, I mean, we have to learn to do the right thing. That's really where it starts. It starts with doing the right thing. And, you know, the right thing, again, may be a little different for you than it is for me. But
it's relative, but right is right and wrong is wrong.
Right is right and wrong is wrong, absolutely, right? And I think for the most part we know what it is. We know what it is, but, you know, I think the first step, well, I'll say the first accountability, you know, you are accountable for understanding and identifying, like, you know, your strategic intent. And people also need to know your intent, right? And you got to make sure that you have some activities, you know, that can support your intent. So if you, you know, you claim you're doing the right thing, then you should have a pattern of activities or behavior that indicates that you do the right thing and not the contrary, right? Because if your pattern of activities reflect that, you know, you shady, guess what? 9 times out of 10, you might not be doing the right thing.
Right.
The first accountability is do the right thing and make sure that you got, you know, the clear understanding and you got some supporting activity around that. I mean, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
No excuses. No excuses. We're talking about increasing our competitive advantage, right? And we're doing it with no excuses tonight. No excuses. Do the right thing. I think as we get older, right, as we evolve, you know, doing the right thing in your 20s was a little different probably from your 30s, and it's certainly much, much different in your 40s. When you look back on your 20s and your 30s, you're like, damn, you know, that was such the wrong thing, right? But at that time, it was the right thing.
It was the only
right
thing
all day long. It was the only thing.
Right.
So things change, right? People evolve. And so it may be the right thing for that moment, but it was still the right thing. So always focus on doing the right thing and making sure that you, again, you know, that you have and you are accountable for understanding and identifying your strategic intent and making sure that you got some supporting activities surrounding it, right? I mean, actions speak louder than words. Number two, managing your space. You have to be accountable for managing your space. Listen, I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago about feng shui. Feng shui. Y'all know what that is, feng shui?
Yeah.
Heard that before?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've not heard of it before, it's a way of positioning your furniture and things in the house, right? It creates a vibe, like a high-frequency vibe. And so, you know, for me, you know, you have to be accountable for managing your space, be it at work, at home. You know, you're accountable for creating space for new ideas and initiatives and projects. sometimes, you know, you may not have enough light in your house. You may sit in an office that doesn't have a window. You know what I'm saying? And so I can't imagine, you know, what not looking out a window would do for you all day versus looking out a window. I could see how that could block some creativity. So if you don't have a window in your office, or if you don't have windows, you know, in your crib, I don't know where you live, but if you don't have a window in your crib, listen, go outside. You know, go to the Starbucks. Go sit outside Dunkin' Donuts. Do something different. Get some vitamin D. Go sit in the park with your laptop. You know what I'm saying? You have to be accountable for managing your space.
Gotta make it
and
work.
And making sure you create space for new ideas, initiatives, and projects. I mean, how does that connect with you in any way? Have you gotten any kind of feng shui cracking in the crib?
It definitely does. For me, I found the more seasoned I become a woman of a certain age, and clutter makes me nervous. Like, I can't eat, and it's kind of at unexplainable levels at this point, even in the kitchen as I'm maneuvering around. I can't cook unless the kitchen is clean first. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the people at the house appreciate the kitchen being clean, because I can't imagine, you know, some of these, you know, kitchens not being clean, you know, when y'all go to throw down.
But my point to that is that it has to be organized when I begin my task.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty much everywhere in my home. If I'm going to, you know, begin a project and, you know, my room isn't clean, I've got clothes around that need to be, you know, hung up, or I've got laundry that needs to be done, my bed isn't made, I've got to get this stuff organized before I can do whatever task it is that I've set before me. I can't do it in disarray.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel the same way. Like, I can't start cooking a meal if there's dishes in the sink.
And like, some people I have to have that. I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, it's a mind game, but it's also about managing your space. And managing your space is different for everyone, but I think when it comes down to increasing your competitive edge, your space, you said something, your space cannot be cluttered. If you are working out of a cluttered space, 9 times out of 10, your ideas are going to be cluttered. Your approach is going to be cluttered. You have to manage your space in the way that you want to manage your world, your business, your life. You want to be organized. You want to be able to bob and weave. You want to be clean and clear. And so you want to create a space that is fresh and clean and clear so that ideas can flow fluently and vividly, right? And it can't do that in the midst of a bunch of clutter or in a dark space. Open those windows up. Get those black curtains out of there. It's time to even paint the walls, right? I mean, come on. Did you do some spring cleaning? Guess what? Spring is over. Guess what? It's summer. Guess what? Summer's almost over. Guess what? It's almost fall. You ready?
Right.
You ready? Two seasons later. You ready?
Right. Time to shift it all around again. Yes, it's time to shift it all around again. Definitely deep cleaning. You got to get the wardrobes ready to shift around from warm to a little cooler. You know, get ready to be able to put your hands on the things when the weather really does change and the cold snap arrives. Those things follow you into your workspace. How your home is kept follows you into the way your workspace is kept. And unfortunately, right now, our home and work are all merged together due to COVID. So it's more important right now to manage the space than ever.
More important ever. New space I mean, come on. Be accountable for managing your space for new opportunities, if nothing else. New opportunities, right? I mean, come on. This means be willing to step away, you know, from things that are working, even though, you know, come on, they may be familiar. We're talking about new opportunities. To make room for new opportunities, you got to figure out a better way to work.
Mm-hmm.
Reset. Clean space, new space. Add some color, right? Add some color. Come on. We're talking about being accountable for managing our space so that we can stimulate new ideas, new projects, new initiatives. We're talking about increasing our competitive edge tonight.
And your changes that don't have to be major, you know, do-it-yourself projects. Just little touches.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be expensive. You can
right.
simply move some things around in your office. Move your desk on the other side of the room, right? Move that chair,
really
that couch on the other side.
That's way, right? Just the movement and the placement
Absolutely.
Of items.
Placement of items. Google feng shui. Don't ask me how to spell it. You know, speak it into your phone. Ask Siri. Ask Siri how to spell it. Just
Make
listen, Google it, and I'm sure it will be extremely helpful. We're moving on to accountability number three tonight. We're talking about managing the process. Managing the process. You are accountable for creating, for creatively pursuing your strategic intent even when you hit an obstacle. You are accountable for creatively pursuing your strategic intent even when you hit an obstacle. Many of us run into problems along the way. We laid out the plan, but the plan don't always go the way we intended it to go. And when you hit a roadblock, you cannot give up. You've got to figure it takes. We said what? We said no excuses. No excuses. So you got to manage your processes. You have to have some processes in place. You just can't try to get things done willy-nilly. We're talking about increasing our competitive edge. Processes require documentation. Why do we establish processes? So everybody can be on the same page and do the same thing the same way. That's what a process is about. Reading it because it's written and it's a part of our fabric. Whether we're at the house or whether we are at work. Now, don't too many people got documented processes at the house. I don't think. Not in my house anyway. But definitely at the job, right? And so we're talking about increasing our competitive edge personally and organizationally. And you certainly can do that by documenting and managing your processes. You have to own or be accountable for creatively pursuing, right? Strategic intent, even when you hit a brick wall. Go ahead.
Interestingly enough to me, that in layman's terms is have plans A through double Z and always
you have to
write it down.
Well, you know, you're 43%. I even saw something that said 49% more likely to achieve a goal when you write it down. So
yes,
if you're 43 to 49% more likely, why wouldn't you want to write it down anyway?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want
have something
right?
to refer
and
back
so,
to?
You know, absolutely. It's like that to-do list, that honey-do list, right?
Yeah.
That honey-do list is a documentation, right, of what needs to get done before you come back to the crib, right?
Yeah.
Or at least before she come back to the crib or before she come back before the weekend, right? This stuff needs to get done. And, you
right.
know, heaven forbid you lose that damn list, right? And you don't want to call and ask what was on that list. You better make that phone call because, listen,
you told her
the process
it was
gonna be is – That's right. And you committed to the process.
And you told her you didn't
you committed
need
to getting
live.
It done. we're veering off on a deep end with this, folks, but we're bringing it on back. We're talking about managing the process.
It's all
about managing the process.
It's all
relative. It truly is all relative. It truly is. Accountability is the key, right? I mean, accountability is the key. It's very hard, I think, out of the gate if you are not an accountable person by nature. And I'm not sure that we are accountable by nature. I think we are taught to be accountable. I think we are coached, trained to be accountable. I don't think people are walking around talking about, you know, make me accountable, make me accountable. I know not me, right? My mother embedded accountability into me very early. She always said, count up the cost. Be ready to count up the cost. Know what you're doing, right? Always be clear in your decisions. That was something early she enforced. But what I realized is a lot of folks were not taught accountability and responsibility. Sometimes I wish I was not so responsible and accountable. I'm telling you, because it's like a reflex sometimes, and I feel way older than I really am a lot of times because of that accountability. But it's certainly a good thing. It certainly has increased my competitive advantage. No, I have a real advantage.
You do.
That's what it gave me.
Do.
Right. It gave me a serious competitive advantage.
Yes.
That still doesn't mean that I don't feel old as hell. Get out of here. I'm just saying.
Man,
that was number three. Hey, we're talking about increasing your competitive advantage tonight with no excuses. No excuses, man. We make so many. We make so many excuses about things that don't even require excuses. I mean, we make excuses for people who don't even require excuses. If we are going to take it to the next level, we have got to stop playing around. Stop playing around with ourselves and stop playing around with people. There's too much opportunity out here that we're leaving on the table. Too much money out here we're leaving on the table.
And we have
no time. We have got to level up, and we can do it immediately simply by becoming more accountable. Simply by eliminating the excuses. No more excuses. We talked about accountability number one. Accountability number one, do the right thing. You know, do the right thing. Even though we know it's relative, right? It's your responsibility. You are accountable for understanding and identifying your strategic intent and activities that support it, right? To make sure that people understand that you do the right thing and you have a track record that reflects that. Number two, manage your space. You are accountable for creating space for new ideas, initiatives, and projects. Space that cultivate new ideas, initiatives, and projects, right? New ideas that are profitable, that are impactful, that are meaningful, right? You're accountable for that. Number three, it's managing the process. You are accountable for creatively pursuing your strategic intent even when it hits a brick wall, even when there's an obstacle, even when it's not in the comfort zone, because there's no success in comfort zones. So come out of there anyway. When you hit a brick wall, listen, you got to plow through. We talked about writing it down, right? Processes, documentation. Write the vision, make it plain so that others may run with it. We're talking about increasing our competitive advantage, our edge, with zero excuses. Do you have a story of no excuses? You got a no excuses story? Like, you didn't want to do it. You pressed your way, Like, no excuses. You got it done. You know, because I'll tell you, shout out to you for the process that you just went through to get back in the offices, you know, that you just reflected on. You're back in the office and you're feeling good about it. But it wasn't an easy road. Like, you know, you've had a few opportunities and you've had some things to kind of go astray, but you still stayed focused even when you had obstacles and when things hit a brick wall. You still stay focused.
I felt like, thank you first and foremost.
That's just one, right? But I'm sure you have many.
No. There are several. There are several. This process by far was the hardest and most difficult only because it lasted the longest as far as me being unemployed with a regular, normal 9-to-5 corporate job that I'm used to. I had to really step outside of a comfort zone that I had where I was just using a few of my talents and crafts, you know, just as hobbies and really ways to work on my mental health and a way for me to feel closer to my mom since she passed away. And I used those skills to kind of pull myself up by my bootstraps when there were no funds coming in and all of the things that I had done that were keeping me afloat during this time were kind of slowing down. In the way of, you know, the driving services that I was signed up for. So stepping outside of my comfort zone and really pushing forward through with my small business and getting out there in the public. And as much as I'm comfortable here in the social lab arena and in the media, being up close and personal with people, selling your product is a way more personal experience, at least to me. And I was afraid of that. And shout out to the AEBL semi-pro basketball tournament that's going on here in Atlanta. For the last few weeks, I've been going out and had a chance to have a vendor spot there. And you know, really showcase my small business. So that being said, it was really no excuses. I could not make any. I did not have time to make any. Life did not afford me the opportunity, the chance to, you know, kind of woe is me and wallow in that anymore. It had to be done. It had to be done. Thank you.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I appreciate the shout out and the support through all of this because you know yourself, it's been a long road for me since my transition here from the Central Florida area. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to. I'm definitely glad I did it, and I would not have changed the chance for the opportunity. It taught me a lot of things about myself. It taught me a lot of things about the world. And it taught me that I'm a lot braver than I thought I was.
No, and that's really what it's about, right? And I think that is a great segue into the next accountability because the next accountability, number four, is establishing the right expectations. Establishing the right expectations. You know, when you are on a no excuses road, right, and you're talking about increasing your competitive advantage, man, you have to make sure that you establish the right expectations for yourself and others. You are accountable for setting expectations that reflect your values, that are properly benchmarked and that, you know, stretch a little bit. you know, stretch you a little bit, stretch your vision, you know, a little bit. Sometimes we want things to be easy. Sometimes, you know, we think we deserve things. But at the end of the day, listen, it's about God's timing, not our timing, right? We're talking about increasing that competitive advantage. And so anytime you're talking about an increase, come with a little work.
Come on now.
Come with a little bit more, right? Come with a little heavy lifting. We're talking about increasing. And so setting the proper expectation, establishing the right expectations. Again, remember, you are accountable for setting expectations that reflect your values, that are properly benchmarked, meaning, right, they're measurable. You know, you've done, you know, the right research and development. You put a little effort into it, right? You know exactly what you're aiming towards. You know where you're going. You know how you're going to get there. You know, a lot of people, you know, they establish a plan, but they never established or identified a destination with the plan. Where are you going? Are you walking like aimlessly, right, towards nowhere? Like, come on, what's the benchmark? Let's stretch yourself a little bit. Don't make it so easy that you'll, you know, meet the goal tomorrow. What is that? That, you know, that's not stretching you. You know, that's not growing you. Make sure you set the proper expectations. And then number five, as we slide into to home plate here, right, I mean, everything is about relationships. But contributing to your relationships, you are going to have to be accountable for giving to the relationships that matter most for you, right? I mean, not just, you know, willy-nilly, yeah, you know, they want to work with me, so I'm going to work with them. Uh-uh. You need to be accountable for giving to the relationships that matter most to you and for you and for your goals.
Right.
And for giving to the larger world. That's the key. Giving to the larger world. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not even about the handful of people, the handful of people around you. It's really about the larger world. Like, how can we impact? How can we do meaningful, purposeful things? You are accountable for giving to the right relationships that matter the most to you, for you, right? And giving to impact the larger world. It all matters. It really all matters. If you take each one of these accountabilities and you really, really put them to work, it's no way you won't become a differentiator.
Right.
What does that mean? There's no way you won't be set apart from the people who you hanging out with. There will be something different about you. You will walk a little different, talk a little different, glow a little different. Mm-hmm. Right. And in turn, you will have increased your competitive advantage because you're not making excuses. You're doing whatever it takes to get it done. And that's what's required in 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Yep. It'll be 2027 before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll look back. Mm-hmm. And when you look back, if you look at me, I'm going to ask you, what did you do to increase your competitive advantage? Are you still making excuses? Listen, I'm going to say, John, you still making excuses, John?
I'm going to say,
Barbara, you still making excuses, Barbara? Listen. Jojo, you still making excuses, Joe?
and some of y'all gonna
look at me and y'all gonna give me that hunch shoulder. You know, we know what that damn hunch shoulder mean. I'm still making excuses.
Yeah.
I'm still making excuses.
But you know what?
Hey, we love y'all.
Let me play the devil's advocate, because you know there's always someone out there that says, I'm not making excuses. These are just reasons. This is the fact. No, not always.
Okay.
Not always, my brother.
Okay. See, so what we're not going to do is we're not going to sit and make excuses with you.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. I don't make excuses for myself. Therefore, it's hard for me to make excuses for other people because I don't make excuses for myself.
Yeah.
You know? That's how it goes down.
And that's the conversation that I had with myself. You're not going to sit here and make this. Let's go. Let's do this. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how bad do you want it? How hungry are you really? See, because, you know, you won't ever get it done. It won't ever really matter until you want it bad enough. And sometimes you know what to do, but you just need a little help. And if you just need a little help, then reach out to people who can help you. Reach out to leaders and mentors and advisors and family members even, right? But make sure that they're people who are doing what you want to do, right? You don't want to be in a blind leading a blind situation, right? Come on, it's too many people like wavering in the wind already. There's too many people following bad advice already. Why are you taking advice from somebody who ain't been up the block? They haven't even been up the block. Like, what? They don't even go nowhere. So why are you listening to them? Get out of here.
Stop.
Surround yourself with people. That's right. Surround yourself with people who are going or who have been where you want to go. That's how you get there. You know, stop hanging around, spending a whole lot of time with people who are trying to talk you off the ledge of your dreams. Talk you off the ledge of your goals, right? They want to talk you off the ledge because they don't have any dreams. They don't have any goals. Don't be persuaded.
Imposing their fears upon you.
Exactly. Accountability number one, do the right thing. The right thing is to stay focused on your goals. Stay focused on your goals. You are accountable. You have to be accountable for understanding and identifying your strategic intent and making sure you create the right activities that support it. Number two, manage your space. You are accountable for creating space for new ideas, initiatives, and projects. Make sure you feng shui that thing out, right? Swag it out so you can get as creative as you need to get. Number three, manage the process. Manage the process. You are accountable for creatively pursuing your strategic intent regardless of the obstacles. You might hit an obstacle or a brick wall, but you got to keep going. Do not give up. Manage the process. Number four, establish the right expectations. It's not going to always go the way you want it to go. You are accountable for setting expectations that reflect your values that are properly benchmarked, right? They got to be measurable, but they stretch you a little bit. Stretch you a little bit. They challenge you a little bit, and they challenge those around you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Establish right expectations. Mm-hmm. And then number five, contributing your relationships. Contributing to your relationships. Contributing to your relationships. You are accountable for giving to the relationships that matter the most your time, your energy, right? And you want to make sure that you're giving to the larger world. Relationships matter. Relationships is really everything. Good, bad, or indifferent. People do business with people they know and people they like, period.
And like, yeah.
Whether you like it or not. Yeah. Whether you like it or not. So, you know, you being evil is not going to get you nor your business anywhere. So you have to be nice. You have to be friendly if you're going to be in business, right? Because you can't buy all your own products. You can't do it, right? But if you want to increase your competitive advantage, we just helped you out. Go back, check out the podcast from the beginning.
Go get
we dropped
back.
Some value.
Yeah, go get those jewels.
We dropped some value tonight. Absolutely. Chuck, what do you think?
No excuses, period, as the kids say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is not the time to play. You know, I know we're still in a pandemic. I know there's a lot of talk around COVID. But for me, it's all about leadership. You know, it's all about leadership. So what you will continue to get from us is strategies, tips, information on ways to increase your business, your faith, or your leadership. That's all we got. That's all we got. Because at the end of the day, that's really all we need. We need ways, tips, strategies, information on how we can increase our business acumen, our faith, and our leadership. Because leadership is the sauce. Leadership is the value factor. If you want to take it to the next level in your life, if you want to make the most money there is to make, you've got to get in leadership, regardless of the industry. You want to become C-suite, even within your own business, right? I mean, come on. When you start a business, you automatically become what? Leadership.
Talk to them nicely.
Now, let me tell you this.
Talk to them nicely.
Everybody that's running a business shouldn't be there.
Come on now.
Some people own businesses, and they should be hiring other people to run them because they're just not good leaders. They're not good leaders, right? Leadership is not for everybody. But I'm telling you like this, I believe everybody can learn how to be a good leader, but everybody's not a good leader by nature. Leadership is learned. Leadership is earned. Leadership is not something that you can just, you know, deem yourself and it's automatically effective. It just doesn't work that way. Leadership is about respect, and respect is earned. But if you want to make the most money there is to make, you've got to tap into leadership. You've got to tap into leadership. Increase your competitive edge. Increase your competitive advantage. Become a dynamic leader. Leadership is about, no, we're about to take this thing over to Clubhouse. Come hang out with us if you like. And we're going to go for at least a half an hour over on Clubhouse. And we shall see how it goes.
Let go. Yo.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready. Right.
I am
ladies
ready.
And gentlemen.
No excuses, period.
Ready, no excuses, period. Hey, thank you all for hanging out. We are headed over to Clubhouse. Good night.
TM Hymen Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hymen Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hymen Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.